You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Well, if you got your Bible, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 13. And as you're turning there, it's so amazing that we can see ministries like that of Hope House. You know, God is doing so many amazing things in our church. And I really believe that it's based in prayer. That is, we're a prayerful church, and so Daniel Fast coming up at the beginning of the year. I hope you'll get information about that. Maybe you can't do a whole Daniel Fast, but fasting a day or fasting a meal even in that week that we're going to be together doing that. It's going to be awesome to just give our hearts a prayer, to see what God has done through Kainos, to meet more than our goal has been incredible. For Christmas Eve coming up, our study of the life of David, Hope House, all these different ministries, it's just a great thing. So as we jump in, we're going to continue looking at the life of David, but we're going to look at it in Acts chapter 13. And here's what I want to do. Here's what I want to happen. I want to just put all my cards out on the table for you. I want to show you that Christmas has been in the heart of God forever. It wasn't something that Christmas was just, God was like, hey guys, we need to do something. We need to do something really big. What about, do y'all have that date open? Is it December 25th? Is that okay in heaven? Yeah. Okay, great. And then everybody, we're just going to come up with this idea and we're going to do this. From the beginning of time, God had planned for Jesus Christ to come on planet Earth to save our souls. It wasn't just a new idea. It wasn't just a, well, this hasn't worked so far. The Noah thing didn't work, and the Adam and Eve thing didn't work, and we didn't have the Saul thing didn't work. Now we're here. It was a plan so that we could get here to this place so that we could celebrate Christmas. Now, here's the encouragement that God's sovereignty and his power is in your life as well. He knows your past, he knows your present, and he knows your future. And so we can have great hope in that. Now, it's going to take me a little bit of a time to ramp up to get to the Jesus Christmas part, okay? But what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you through the Old Testament how this thing is being built. So when we get to the Jesus moment, it's in verse 23. When we get to that, it's going to be kind of like the mic drop, spike the ball. Wow, I can't believe it happened like that. But let's begin in chapter 13. Verse 16 is where we're going to begin. And if you remember last week, we went in verse 36 of this same chapter, that when David had finished his purpose in his generation, he fell asleep. That was our verse last week. That was in this same chapter. Now look at Paul in verse 16, and we're going to take it a little bit slow to kick it off, but we're going to make it through 23. Don't worry. Verse 16, Paul stood up and motioned with his hand and said, fellow Israelites, you who fear God, listen. Okay, stop right there. Paul is in the synagogue. He's teaching in the synagogue. He said, hey, if you guys got anything to say, come let us know. Paul stands up and he declares these things. Now, there's a couple showstoppers that are happening here. Number one, Jewish teachers in the synagogue would typically sit down. They would sit down. It was a tradition of the Jewish teachers to be seated. Now, the Greco-Roman teachers would typically stand up. Now, think about in our day, what typically happens when you come to church? Usually there's a table or a pulpit. A guy like me stands behind it or stands next to it, and there's kind of a standing declaration of the Word of God. Now, I got a stool because I just kind of like to sit down every once in a while, so I'm kind of Greco-Roman and Jewish all together at the same time. All things to all people. But Paul, they're supposed to be seated. Paul stands up. You see how everybody goes, whoa. He says with his hand, listen up. And he declares to the men of Israel, to the people of Israel, the Israelites, to the Jews, I want you to listen. To the God-fearing Gentiles, those that are non-Jewish, I want you to listen. So Paul in this moment, he's going to ramp up to Jesus. He's not seated. He stands up and says, guys, I want you to hear this. And I want you to hear it as a Jewish person. I want you to hear this as a non-Jewish person, as a God-fearing Greek or a Gentile. I want you to hear it. I want everybody to hear it. Here's your point at Christmas. Christmas is God's invitation for all to come. Christmas is God's invitation for all to come. Paul says to the Jew, to the Greek, to the Roman, to the Gentile, to every single person, I want you all to listen. I'm standing up and telling you something right now. And I want every single person to come. See if you can fill in this word for God so loved the world, right? Jesus is the Savior of the world. Jesus is for every single person. He's for the Jewish person. He's for the non-Jew or the Gentile. He's for the old. He's for the young. He's for the highly educated. He's for the folks who didn't have much education. He's for Americans. He's for people outside this country. He's for the rich. He's for the poor. He's for the teenager. He's for the senior adult as much as the senior in high school. He is for the wise men and he's for the shepherd. He's for Mary as a lady, he's for Joseph as a man. He's for every single one. He has come to be able to declare, wise men and shepherd, young and old, churched and unchurched, there is a Savior that has been born in Bethlehem. And Paul begins his message by saying, listen, Jew or Gentile, everybody listen, I've got something to tell you. See, Christmas is for every single person. And it's for every single person's soul. Now, I think we've done a good job of getting everybody to the mall, but the getting to the mall is not the point. Getting to the Messiah is the point. Savory sweets, we all got that. But do we have the Savior of the world to let him be our Savior in our hearts? And if you're a believer in Christ, whatever campus, digital family as well, you and I have a wonderful opportunity, responsibility, and privilege to be able to share the true meaning of Christmas with folks that are out there. Because I promise you right now, the mall is packed right now. Packed, ready to go. People are gonna buy a whole bunch of stuff. They're gonna give a whole bunch of stuff away. We're all gonna do that too. That's wonderful and great. But the point is not what is the present, but what is the presence of God. And a lot of people will have a whole bunch of present, but will we have the presence of God? And so Jesus Christ has come for every single one of us, not the mall, but the Messiah, not sweets, but the soul, the Messiah of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I want everybody to know from the very, very beginning, don't do Christmas without Christ. Don't do Christmas without Christ. And let me just give us a warning, even as in believers in Christ, and even coming to church today or watching online today or whatever it is today, to be able to connect. Don't let this week be filled with busyness and you never read your Bible. Don't let this whole week be filled with turkey and stuffing and dressing and all that sort of stuff and you never have a time of prayer that you really sit and go, wow, this is an amazing thing for the soul that God has sent his one and only son through Jesus Christ to save my soul. Thank you, Lord, for that. And I bless your name. If you don't know where to turn in your Bible, read Matthew chapter 1 and chapter 2. Read Luke chapter 2 and just read the Christmas story. Read it over and over and over again. Read whatever passage I give you every week and just go back over it in the message with your notes and allow God to minister to you in that. Don't do Christmas without Christ. And it's so easy. And we're so stressed and we're so burdened and we're so busy. And we could miss the whole thing. Verse 17, look at what he says now. He's gonna jump into the Old Testament. I'm gonna read it to you and then I'm gonna come back and we're gonna circle all the active verbs, okay? So English teachers, get excited. We're circling verbs. Here we go. Look at verse 17. The God of the people Israel chose our ancestors and made the people prosper during their stay in the land of Egypt and led them out with a mighty arm. And for about 40 years, he put up or endured, some may say, put up with them in the wilderness. And after destroying seven nations in the land of Canaan, he gave, destroying and then gave, he gave them the land as they inherited their inheritance. This all took about 450 years. After this, he gave them judges until Samuel, the prophet that came. So here we have active verses happening. This is a great recap of the Old Testament. You can look in Acts chapter 7, I believe as well, with Stephen is going to recap the Old Testament as well. Great recap. So Paul says, listen, guys, I'm in the synagogue, Jews and Gentiles, I want you to listen. God's got a plan and he's gonna start with Moses. And he's gonna give some active verbs. I hope you circled them. Chose would be your first one to circle. Prosper would be the next one to circle. Led at the end of verse 17, them out with a mighty arm. Verse 18, he put up with or he endured with. Do you know what the Greek is on that? He fed them like a nurse. These complaining people, he said, look, you just need an IV. I just need to give you some ice chips. How about some Jell-O? Because you're not dining on the real things of God. You're just kind of complaining this whole time. He fed them like a nurse, verse 19, destroying the nations that were in opposition to them. Then he gave them the land. All five of those, or six of those, he chose, he prospered them, he led them, he endured with them, he overthrew nations on their behalf, and God gave. Here's what I want you to know. Christmas reminds us, God is always on the move. Past, present, and future. This reminds us, Christmas reminds us, not a new idea of God, not something he just came up with. Huh, what should we do now? He is always on the move. So Paul says, okay, guys, listen up. He's going to get to Jesus, but where does he begin? He begins with Moses, and he led the people out. And he caused them to prosper, and he endured with them, and he chose them, and he overthrew the enemies, and he gave them everything that they needed. And God will do the same thing for you. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll nurse you. He'll endure with you. He'll prosper you. He'll give you faith to journey you out. Christmas is about the soul, and we can trust him with each one of these active verbs. God is always on the move. Do you see that God is on the move in the past? Before we get to Jesus, he's talking about Moses. Moses is going to lead to the promised land. Then they're going to have judges that are ruling. We'll see in a minute that those judges will give way then to the kings of Israel. And then finally, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, will show up. The Bible is a plan all the way through. So if you don't know your Old Testament very well, this just gives you a great recap. Past, present, and future. And you know what? We need God to be over our past, our present, and our future. We need that. You think about your Christmas tree even. You've got on your Christmas tree, I want you to go back today, and I want you to look, and I bet you've got past, present, and future. I brought just from our tree, picked them off of our very own tree. Here's a past right here. Little life Bible study or at school. This was in the owls class at First Baptist Academy, made here by one of my kids. And so just a little angel made here. What a beautiful little angel. So we've got this here. We love this kind of ornament. We got a lot of them on our tree, right? Come and try to take this from us. We won't let you have it, right? These are special to us. Why? Because they're of our past. They mean something to us. Then we have some that of our present. We got this one here. It's a little Christmas ornament. It says here, Deacon's Christmas Party. 2021. So we had a deacon's Christmas party and gave all these to the deacons. This is on our tree. And I got one as well to just say, man, that was a great Christmas party just a couple weeks ago. This is a present tense of that. Then we've got here one, I started thinking about this. Well, what's a future thing? Well, we've got the word hope on our Christmas tree. We also got joy to the world. We also got peace on earth and goodwill towards men, right? But this is a word of hope that we need this for the future. Yes, it's present. Yes, it's past, but it's also hope for our nation, hope for our world, hope for our kids, hope for our marriage, hope for our church, all these different things of hope of being able to say that. Jesus Christ is the God of the past, the present, and the future. And Christmas from Moses about the past, right now as we talk about it in the present and for the future of what God can do. Isn't that incredible to think about that? That's the kind of God that he is. And what that means is he's sovereign. He's sovereign. Big $64,000 seminary word. What does it mean to be sovereign? It means that he is in complete control. He has no limits placed on him. He is all powerful, omnipotent. He's all present, omniscient and all knowing, omnipresent and all present, omnipotent and all power, omniscient and all knowing. He knows everything. He's powerful. He's everywhere at every moment, at every time. And that, watch, let's bring it home. That brings me encouragement in my past, in my present, and my future. Christmas is not about the mall. It's about my soul. And my soul doesn't need a new shirt. My soul needs help with my past. My soul needs help with my present. My soul needs help with my future. What does he need help? What do we need help with in our past? Well, some of us, we're like, man, my past is awesome. And we got so much pride in the present. We need to come and to realize that God wants us to bend our knee at the manger to be able to say, Jesus, I trust in you. A helpless baby to show helpless people that they need a savior. Maybe it's in the present and you're going through some tough times right now, today. And in the present, you've got to be able to say, Lord, I trust you and I'm going to make it through in this moment. Maybe it's in the future and you're like worried about it. What's going to happen? What's going to take place? What's going to take place in the future? Jesus Christ could be right there in your past, in your present, in your future. Can I just share with you just in my own heart, my own life? I don't know why, but the last 3 weeks, I've just missed my grandparents so much. They're gone now. It's my dad's side of the family, my mom's side. Grandparents are gone as well, and I miss them as well. But in particular, my grandparents on my dad's side, Granny and Pop is what I'd call them, and I can still smell their house. I know what the door sounds like when you open the door. I remember them always meeting us, and they'd meet us right there in the carport, and we would go in the down this long hallway and go right into the kitchen. My grandmother's kitchen was pink. Can you imagine that? I mean, pink refrigerator, pink stovetop, pink oven, pink Formica, pink everything. She wasn't even in Mary Kay. I don't know why we're going to get a pink Cadillac out of the deal. But that was her. And I can remember walking in and sitting at the bar right there, sitting at that bar as my grandmother would make breakfast, or she would make a little snack and all these different things, and sit there talking to my grandfather. There was no cell phones. There's no laptops, no iPads. There's no TV was on in the other room, but we just talked. In the last couple of weeks, I've just missed them. I just miss them. They've been gone for years. But I can still smell that house. I can still hear those doors closing. I can still hear their voices. And I still see pictures of them from Christmas time when I was a kid and even a young adult. Christmas, sometimes we need Jesus for the past. We just need him to help us through the present of missing people from the past, to give us hope that we can make it to the future. And here we have, for Paul, it begins with Moses and goes to Samuel and the judges because he is sovereign. Now look at verse 21 and 22, then 23 is what we'll get to for our final verse, 21 and 22. And they asked for a king. So they've come through the judges' time. That's why you have a book of judges in your Old Testament. They've come through the judges that are giving the laws, and they ask for a king. The people of Israel ask for a king. That's really not a good decision that they're making, but everybody else had one, right? What do we want? We want everybody else has. So they want a king. So they asked for a king. They said, Saul will do a good job. He looks like a king. He'll be great. Not so much. Saul, the son of Kish, the man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years, he was their king. Verse 22, after removing him, God removed him, he raised up David as their king. There's our guy we've been talking about all semester. And testified about him. Now, this is great. What makes him a great king? I have found David, the son of Jesse, to be a man after my own heart, who will carry out my will. What's God's will for your life? For you to be after God's heart and to carry out his will. That's what God's will is for your life and my life. So here's the point. God uses imperfect people for his perfect plans. God uses imperfect people for his perfect plans. David, the son of Jesse, they lined up all his other brothers and said, which one's going to be king? And Samuel said, I think there's another one. And he said, can you go get him from the fields? They take David and he comes. David doesn't do everything perfectly. Sure, he defeats Goliath, but he gets waylaid by Bathsheba. And so he falls in Bathsheba with lust and adultery. And then he ends up murdering Uriah the Hittite, her husband. He ends up murdering other folks that died because of this murder that he planned. He does a lot of bad stuff, and he is used, and he's going to become the greatest king in all of Israel's history. He is going to leave a legacy, and you and I have a legacy to leave as well. What will we leave behind? What will we leave when we're gone? What will be the story told of us? And so God wants to use us even right now in this day. If you've had a rough past, hey, Jesus has got a great future for you, and he can forgive your heart and your soul. God loves to use imperfect people for his perfect plans. So he used Saul even, who didn't do everything right. He can use anybody. He uses David. He uses you. He uses me. We're all imperfect in the plan. Let me ask you a couple of modern day examples. You ever heard of the name Franklin Graham? Bet you have. Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, head of Samaritan's Purse. Franklin Graham, amazing, amazing man of God now, but did you know that his past, he was very rebellious against God, partying, all sorts of stuff. He actually got kicked out of college. Can you imagine being the president of the university in the meeting where you're deciding to kick Billy Graham's son out of college? Can you imagine that? And then you got to make that phone call. Dr. Graham, I hate to interrupt you at that crusade in India with 5 million people coming to Christ, but we're kicking Franklin out of college. Mrs. Graham, I know you're probably writing a devotional and praying right now, but if you could put down your guidepost article that you're writing. We're kicking Franklin out of college. That is a difficult phone call to make, I would think. And I'm sure the Grahams, everything I've heard about them and their kids would have said, if they deserved it, then good deal, right? They understand that. You can't protect your kids from everything. And so in this moment, though, Franklin is kicked out of college. Well, Christmas, God used imperfect people for his perfect plans. He is in charge of Samaritan's Purse. Have you ever heard of Operation Christmas Child? It's a shoebox that you put together. We did it as a church. And many, many people do it. Our downtown campus was a site of collection. We had 1,250 little shoeboxes that are going to people all over the world. Do you know that last year, Franklin Graham's ministry, 9.1 million shoeboxes collected. A guy that got kicked out of college, disobedient from God, running from God, wanting to run from his name, is now the man that God is using their whole ministry for 9.1 million kids to hear about Jesus Christ this Christmas. That's amazing. That's incredible. Chuck Colson, have you ever heard that name? Let's go a couple years back. He was the hatchet man, basically, they would call him, for President Nixon. He was the one to do the dirty work for President Nixon. So then he got sent to prison and he came to Christ on his way to prison. And in prison, he realized these men and women in prison, they need ministry. So he started Prison Fellowship and has ministered to countless prisoners. Had a person in the first service came down. They said, our daughter was incarcerated and came to Christ because of Prison Fellowship. She got in trouble with drugs and got sent to jail. And she came to Christ because of this ministry you just mentioned here with Chuck Colson's ministry. Since 1982, they've been doing a thing called Angel Tree, where you give Christmas presents on behalf of the prisoners. They can't give their Christmas presents. And they say, hey, this is from your mom. This is from your dad. Why should these little kids be punished, right, for the sins of their parents? So you give Christmas presents on behalf of the mom and the dad. Since 1982, do you know that 11 million Christmas presents have been given across the nation? Isn't that awesome? Let's cheer for that. All campuses. God uses imperfect people. Would anybody would have ever thought Chuck Colson on his way to prison would then we'd be talking about him? He's in heaven now as a person that's made such a difference in 11 million kids' lives. Franklin Graham, when he was rebellious and young, and yet now 9 million boxes just last year going out all over the world. God can use you. God can use me. Christmas is about God using imperfect people. How? When they get to be people that are about God's own heart. David was a man after God's own heart. How do you get to be a man after God's own heart, a woman after God's own heart? You adore the Lord and you do what he says. At the end of that verse, it says, and he did everything in accordance to my will. What did Jesus do? Not my will, but yours be done, Lord. That's what we do. I love this quote. Mother Teresa was talking with a guy named Henry Nouwen. He's a Catholic scholar, and obviously she's a Catholic nun. And so they were discussing these things. And Henry Nouwen said, Mother Teresa, I need some help with my spiritual life. This would be a great conversation to eavesdrop on. I need some help with my spiritual life. What would you say? And she says, oh, you need spiritual direction? Here's what you do. Here's her quote. Spend 1 hour each day in adoration of your Lord and never do anything that you know is wrong. Follow this and you'll be fine. You got more for me? That's it. That's it. Spend time with God every day, adoring him, and don't do anything you know is wrong and you'll be fine. That's it. That's it. How do you become a person after God's own heart? Spend time with God every day and adore him more than anything else in your life. And don't do anything that you know is wrong. Now, what if I'm going to do something that I didn't know was wrong, but it's really wrong? God will reveal that to you as you're spending time with him every day. And he'll show you and he'll grow you and he'll convict your heart and your life. So read the Bible cover to cover. Pick a chapter of scripture, or excuse me, a book of the Bible and just start reading through the New Testament. Get the capture of the moment devotion, whatever it is that you can do to spend time with each day, and you will find that you will become a man or woman after God's own heart. Will you be perfect? No, you won't. And that's awesome because that will leave room for Jesus. And we won't be impressed with you. We'll be impressed with God through you. God uses imperfect people, King David here, and he uses them for his purposes. Last verse, don't miss it. I've been ramping up to this verse. This is my favorite verse of this whole thing. So don't be like, okay, what else? No, what else? Because I'm standing up, my hand out, saying, Jews and Gentiles, listen. We've gone through Moses. We've gone through the judges. Now we've gone through King Saul. Now we've come through King David. Now watch what's going to happen in verse 23. Paul's going to take us to Christmas. Look at verse 23. From this man's descendants, that's David. We've been talking about all semester. That man's descendants, as he promised, that's God, God brought to Israel, watch, the Savior Jesus. God fulfilled his messianic promise, his promise of the Messiah in Jesus. Now that is a mind blower right there. Paul takes us through the Old Testament. He's declaring this in the synagogue. He's standing up, not sitting down, so that the Jews and the Greeks and the Romans will know. And he leaves his seat to say, listen, there was Moses and God led him out. He chose him. He prospered them. He led them. He endured them. He overthrew them. He gave them. I've given you all the active verbs I can give you. Then they went into the time of judges. Then y'all said y'all wanted a king and you got a bad king with Saul, but I even used him. And then you had the great King David of all of Israel. And from King David's line, now you end up with Jesus, who is the Savior, who is the Moses, who is the king, who is the one that can lead you out of your sin, of your guilt, of your pride, because he is a man after God's own heart. It's like a snowball rolling down a hill. It's like a highlight reel before you get to the game. My son and I love watching this MLB, Major League Baseball highlight reel from about 2012, I think it is. It's awesome. It's incredible. It fires you up. We watch it almost every season. We watch it multiple times. It's so exciting, these outs, these strikeouts, these home runs. It's like, yes, wow, wow, wow. And wham, it hits. And then we kick off baseball season with it. It's so, so exciting, about 4 minutes of excitement. So we can watch 3 hours of kind of boredom watching baseball. I mean, it takes so long. I love it. But this didn't lead to a long thing. It led to Jesus. And that moment at the end of that highlight reel, it's like your team lifting up the trophy of all trophies. And it said, through his descendants, God brought to Israel the Savior, Jesus, just as he promised. Can I give you a couple promises from the Old Testament about Jesus Christ? If you'll trust me, I could blow you away with all the references of Bible verses where you'd scribble notes so fast you wouldn't be able to keep up. If you'll trust me that there are Bible verses with everything I'm about to tell you, that he would be the Son of God from the Old Testament prophesied into the New Testament. He'd come from a woman. He would be of the seed and line of Abraham, the line of Isaac, and the line of David. He would also come at the right time that is declared, that he would be born of a virgin. His name would be called Emmanuel. He'd be born in Bethlehem. Great people would come to adore him. And even children, unfortunately, through the insecurity of Herod, would be slain under the ages of 2. Jesus is prophesied from the Old Testament. He's not a new idea. He is the prophecy of the Old Testament so that you and I can trust that God has a plan for our life. He knows your past hurts. He knows your present pain, and he knows your future hope. And he knew all that with Jesus, and Jesus Christ is the ticket to every one of those things. You can get every Christmas present underneath the tree, but if you don't get the presence of God, you've missed Christmas. And Paul's saying in the synagogue, listen, this all leads to the Messiah, and his name is Jesus. Now, I want to tell you one other thing, and I don't want you to miss this because this is really important. Two other things I'm actually going to tell you. There are similarities between David and Jesus. Did you know this? David is a precursor, the king of Israel, precursor for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, Jesus was perfect, no doubt about it, without sin. David wasn't. We've covered that with Bathsheba and other things. But David gives Israel and the people of God a hope that there is a Messiah coming. Let me show you some similarities between David and Jesus. Listen to these. Both are descendants of Abraham and of the tribe of Judah. Both were born in Bethlehem. Both Jesus and David were announced by men of miraculous birth. Do you remember the prophet Samuel with his mom Hannah, a barren woman, a miraculous birth? And then Samuel finds David in the field. Do you remember John the Baptist with Elizabeth, an elderly barren woman? And miraculously, John the Baptist is born and declares that Jesus Christ is coming. Both were shepherds in their hearts. Both experienced a confrontation in the wilderness. David with the lion and the bear, Jesus with Satan himself. Both were kings. David was the king of Israel, and Jesus is the king of kings. Both were betrayed by someone close to them. David by Absalom, and then one of his primary advisors, Jesus by Judas. Interesting, David's primary advisor that betrayed him and Judas that betrayed Jesus both died by hanging. Both men were beloved by God. David in Hebrew means beloved. And Jesus at his baptism, God said, "This is my son with whom I am well pleased." Jesus and him were beloved by God. At age 30, David became king. At age 30, Jesus began his public ministry. Both wept on the Mount of Olives over the tragedies taking place in Jerusalem. Both had many enemies, but both defeated their enemies. And both died in Jerusalem. David, Jesus, and you. You're in the line because if you know Jesus Christ, then you've been grafted in to the family of God through the salvation relationship in Jesus. Absolutely incredible to think about. And when we see these things all working together, it's a powerful, powerful thing. Now I want to show you one last thing and we're done. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, it's to the left. I'll put it on the screen for you as well. If you don't have your Bible with you, that's fine. Matthew chapter 1, and I'm going to show you something, and then we're done. What do you think the first verse in the first chapter of the first book of the New Testament is going to be about? First verse, first book, first chapter of the New Testament. Chapter 1, verse 1, Matthew. And an account of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Okay, I could have predicted that. The son of David, the son of Abraham. Right there at the beginning, Matthew is tying it back to David. Now look at verse 6. Gives you the genealogy of David, or excuse me, of Jesus. Verse 6. And Jesse fathered, I love this, it doesn't just say David, King David. The only place through all of these lineage that you get a title, King David. David fathered Solomon by Uriah's wife. Interesting things here, and we're done. King David. Solomon was born from Uriah's wife. That's the only time in this thing you see a wife mentioned. Why? God wants you to know it was wrong what he did with Bathsheba. God wants you to know he is forgiven and imperfect people. You could read others are in the line of Jesus Christ to give us hope that God can use imperfect people just like us. You see it? So what have we said? Christmas was not a made-up idea that God just came up with and said, anybody got the 25th open, angels? Oh, okay, that day works for us. Let's do this. He had planned it from days of old, like a snowball rolling to get to this place of Jesus Christ so that you and I could hear this message right now. And I could stand before you as a teenager, as a senior adult, as somewhere in between and raise my hand and say, listen, there's something for your soul that the mall can't give you. Feast on the Savior of the world this week and for the rest of your life. Jesus, we come in the power of your name and the strength of your name. Thank you, God, how the Old Testament builds into the New Testament. Thank you for the past, the present, and the future, Lord, that you've got under control, that you can meet us right here in our pain or in our joy. And we just come, Lord, and we trust you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Would you just pray in the quietness of your heart and say, Lord, let this week in particular be a focus on you. as we celebrate your birth. Father, we pray these things in the name of Jesus, prophesied from the Old Testament, Jesus, in the line of David, Jesus, obedient to God and without sin, Jesus, come to die on a cross for me and for us, Jesus, risen from the grave, Jesus, coming again, Jesus, one we'll see face to face in heaven, Jesus, in that name, we come. And we worship Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.